Does that sound?
How the f*** do you book a hotel room in this? Am I just like a dumb person or what? I guess I click off. You all available offers? Reservations?
I ran upstairs. I think we might have just had an earthquake.
Howdy, it's Friday, April 5th, 2024, and this is episode 225 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Eskin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Traveling. We've been going all over the world for Due for a Win research.
Indeed. As always.
We are so dedicated. We have been on multiple flights since the last podcast.
What's the most interesting place you've been to a casino? Because certainly I've reviewed some interesting ones on the podcast.
I haven't gone to that many weird places. I mean, Puerto Rico, I guess, was interesting.
Yeah.
Just in the hotel.
Vancouver,
that was not a very interesting casino. Didn't go into the little casinos in Dublin.
Ugh.
Just a missed opportunity, really.
What are you doing, man? Come on. That's like when I was in Bucharest, I was like, I have to go in these weird casinos.
I had a two-year-old
and they
with
were
me,
weird.
So made it a little harder.
Yeah.
No excuse. The people demand it. You've
right.
been, yeah, you've been Bucharest, you've been...
Macau.
Yeah.
Singapore now, yep.
It's doing it right.
Yep, but before we talk about that, I think we have an always once never.
We do. Sports bars, which there's some maybe contention about whether these are sports bars. I think they all are.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Vagabond Kitchen and Tap House.
Uh-huh.
Ducktown Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And Chickies and Pete's.
Maybe Ducktown Tavern is like... borderline, but I think they're all sports bars.
There's certainly other sports bars in town that we haven't been to, but these three we have certainly been to, so I went with them.
Mm.
I did not include a damn good sports bar at the Tropicana.
That's true.
I didn't include Hooters at the Tropicana.
Yeah, Tropicana's just got all the sports bars.
Yeah. Would you call Hooters a sports bar?
Yeah, no, it's a sports bar.
It came up when I searched Atlantic City sports bars. It was one of the top suggestions.
It definitely is.
What do you think?
My gut instinct is that I like Vagabond the best out of these, and I know you aren't wild about Vagabond, but it's certainly not very convenient to get to.
Yeah, that'd be a tough always.
Yeah. Even though I've only been once when we went to Ducktown Tavern, I thought it was very good. We've never had the food there.
Right.
So I'd have to try that, but I believe that I've heard that it's very good. Maybe always Ducktown? Once Vagabond, and certainly I never need to go to Chickies and Pete's again, so.
I unironically like Chickies and Pete's.
I know. So I told Craig this via text, but I was talking to my stepdad, so my mom and stepdad go to AC all the time. And he was like, oh, there's like this name of this really great restaurant in Tropicana, I don't remember what it is. And I was like, interested in to see what he would say. And he's like, oh, it's like a sports bar. And I'm like, oh, is it Chickies and Pete's? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's it. And I was like, hmm.
I think the food is actually pretty good at Chickies and Pete's.
It's fine.
And it's a good place to watch games. Like, I like the TV setup's pretty good. Like, I went once and I just sat at the bar and had a beer and watched some sports, and that worked out pretty well. I think I was doing very bad in gambling one time several years ago. But out of these three, like, it's the only one I think in good conscience I can throw into the ocean. So I still have to put it into the ocean, even though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised. I thought you were going to go always Chickies and Pete's. I really did.
It certainly would be the easiest, but it's a chain. It's in Tropicana that already has other sports bars, as we've said.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like, logistically, it's the easiest thing to throw into the ocean. Although it is also the easiest thing to say always. But I think I'd rather go to Ducktown Tavern always, Vagabond once. So I'm going to just echo yours entirely, which
All
is
right.
lame and boring.
Nice. Look, if you're right, you're right. And... Two out of two Due for One hosts agree.
That's true.
That is the appropriate ranking of these. So, write it in stone.
I will say, if you've never been to Chickies and Pete's and you want to watch a game, it's a good place to go get a sandwich of some sort and some crab fries that have no crab in them.
It's totally fine. I mean, half the reason that I shit on it so much is just because my perception is that Craig absolutely loves it, but it's fine. Yeah, I, you know, if you want to go watch a game there, I think it's a completely reasonable choice.
Agreed. More than reasonable. Good, even, I would say. So speaking of going around the world, or earlier we spoke about going around the world.
Yeah.
You were in Singapore while I was in beautiful Austin, Texas.
I know.
It is beautiful in Austin, Texas, actually. But what did you do in Singapore that's related to this podcast?
I mean, it was not beautiful in Singapore. It was extremely, extremely hot.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it was like 95.
Oh,
with,
no.
You know, 1,000% humidity every day. So
the 88 of Austin seems completely reasonable now.
Yeah, no. And probably much less humid. So
yeah. It was actually very humid, but for Austin. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, my family and I went to Singapore, and we did a whole bunch of stuff, but kind of relevant to the podcast is I technically was around both of the casinos there, Resorts World Sentosa and Sands Marina Bay. So the Resorts World I went to first, and unfortunately I did not know the rules, and I did not have my passport on me, so I could not actually get into that casino. So just so people know, if you're ever in Singapore and want to do some gambling, you will have to have both your passport and your copy of your like health declaration that you get when you enter the country via email. So you can just have it on your phone. That's fine. So yeah, I couldn't go inside the Resorts World Sentosa. So I can't review that. But knowing the rules after trying to get in there, I went a couple days later to the Sands Marina Bay and actually was able to get in. Although I have to say that the first time it's ever happened to me in my life when I tried to get in there, the bouncer, I guess, or the whatever you want to call that guy, was like, this passport picture doesn't look like you. You need to have another form of ID. And I was like, it looks exactly like me.
They're
I don't know
very,
what you're talking about.
Very skeptical of Kyle.
So I don't know. So he's like, do you have your driver's license? So I don't know if he was like trying to like cross-reference to see if I had like, you know, some sort of player's card or whatever, because they would only have my driver's license information in the States.
Right.
I don't know. That's just wild speculation, because I really do think I look exactly like my passport photo. But anyway, I was able to get in. Yeah, I don't have too much to say. It was not for me, I think is the easiest way to put it. And I'm not saying it was like bad or anything like that. It just wasn't for me the way it was set up. The first thing you'll note is it was extremely, extremely expensive.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know when I went to Macau, certainly some of the tables there were also quite expensive. At the nicer properties, you would see like $500 tables in Macau quite a bit as the minimum, like in Cotai, and that's 500 Hong Kong dollars, which is like probably $65 US or something like that. So not cheap, but Marina Bay Sands was definitely more expensive than that. I'd say that the minimums for like Baccarat were, I think $200 was the cheapest table I saw, which is like 150 US. For blackjack, it was $100, which is like 75 US. And then for like everything else, pretty much it was 75, which is, I don't know, $60 or a little bit less US. So very, very expensive. I did not play any table games there because I was interested in playing some Baccarat, but not for $150 a hand.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of slots. They were also very expensive.
More than 70 cents a spin?
Yeah.
What's the slot selection like? Is it like the U.S. slots where it's like Heidi and...
No. It's like the U.S. slots in that there's a ton of like, you know, Chinese-themed
okay,
slots.
Okay, that was
just like there are in the U.S.
Fortune dragons.
Yeah, pretty much. So I played, you know, I put $100 or something through the slot machines, and it went very fast because, like I said, they were also quite expensive. And just ended up getting out of there. So, like I said, it's too expensive for me. It's nothing for me like what Macau was. Like, Macau, at least the parts I really loved, which were Macau proper, not Cotai. Like, there was a lot of ambiance and stuff. This was just a big room for gambling, more or less. And, like, literally the way it's laid out is it's just one huge room with two floors.
Was it fancy?
Not really.
Oh.
I mean, kind of, I guess. I mean, like, everything in that, like, Marina Bay Sands building is, like, fancy and nice, I guess, but I don't know. It didn't blow me away. I thought it was more expensive than it needed to be, but certainly plenty of people were playing, so more power to them. Also, if you're a local, I think it costs something like $100 or $150 every time you go to get in, or you can buy like a year-long pass for $3,000 or something like that.
Wow.
So they definitely discourage locals from gambling, which, I mean, I can understand why they would want to do that, but foreigners, they'll let in for free.
Crowded?
It was pretty crowded. I was there on a Saturday night.
Okay.
It was pretty crowded.
Were your kids asleep at this point? What was going on?
Yeah. That was after they had gone to sleep.
I see.
I walked down there.
Fun time?
Not really. So I'm not interested. I don't think I'll be going back to the Marina Bay Sands. I would, you know, go if I go back to Singapore. I don't know when I would check out the Resorts World Sentosa, since I wasn't able to do it this time. But my expectation is it's not going to be totally different. But you know, I came in with no knowledge of what these places were like, and kind of learned on the fly. So
I was in Austin, Texas. There was no gambling.
Mm.
They don't have any casinos in Texas.
Not in Texas.
You got to go to WinStar World Resort in Oklahoma. But I did go to a Buc-ee's, and I feel like that's just as good.
Oh, yeah. Is it your first Buc-ee's experience?
It was. It was amazing. I loved every minute of it.
No, Buc-ee's is absolutely... Was it like... So I've only been to the one in Florence, South Carolina, and it was like absolutely like had to be 10,000 people like in and around the Buc-ee's.
It was not that crowded. It was bonkers. It was 10:30 on Easter night.
Okay.
Which shocking amount of stuff in Austin is open. Then, mm-hmm. like, I almost feel like they are open later than, like, New York City area stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a ton of stuff open in New York late, obviously, but it's no longer as 24 hours as it used to be pre-COVID. But in the Matt Bridger Across America series that he did, he went to a Buc-ee's. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the first time I'd ever heard of Buc-ee's, but I just saw it as, like, this is a place that I would love. I have to go. And so when we ended up in Texas, we drove 45 minutes to get to the Buc-ee's in New Braunfels, even though that's not the closest Buc-ee's to Austin, but it was bigger than the other Buc-ee's. So my friend who I was visiting was like, no, you got to go to the bigger Buc-ee's.
Yeah. I mean, if you are going to Buc-ee's, you have to go to the biggest Buc-ee's.
But it was fantastic. Just, you know, 10:30 at night, crowded, 120 gas pumps. I joked that it was like the gas station version of the porte cochere at the Bellagio. Like the gas, even the like gas pump area is so nice and well lit and looks like really well done. I mean, it's not like fancy, but for a gas station, it's incredibly fancy. I got some beef jerky. I got some beaver nuggets. I got a t-shirt.
Yep, beaver nuggets are great.
I got some fudge. So I was very happy with that. Buc-ee's fudge is very good.
No, Buc-ee's is just the best.
So if you can't go to a casino, I highly recommend going to a Buc-ee's. The ideal scenario would be to stop at a Buc-ee's on the way to a casino.
So I think they're opening a Buc-ee's kind of, I don't know when, but they're working on one in Virginia, which would
two.
Be much, much better for me. Oh, really? Yeah, I know one's on 81, I think, near like Harrisonburg.
Yes.
They're working on.
Harrisonburg and Richmond are the two in Virginia.
Oh, that's exciting.
You should apply to be the general manager. They make $225,000 a year.
Yeah, maybe.
The general manager of a Buc-ee's. Think about how many brisket sandwiches and fudge you could eat.
Oh, I would eat a lot of brisket sandwiches. I had a brisket sandwich when I was there last time at the beginning of the year.
Nice.
It was quite good.
The Buc-ee's podcast. There probably is a Buc-ee's podcast.
I'm positive there is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite a thing. I mean, my wife certainly wears her Buc-ee's sweater all the time.
Nice. So,
that we got at the Buc-ee's.
They were moving a lot of Buc-ee's onesies, like full beaver.
Oh, yeah.
Basically costume onesies. A lot of people were walking out with those.
Oh, we've got a picture of our younger son with Buc-ee himself.
Oh, Buc-ee wasn't walking around at this one.
Oh, come on. That's garbage.
I mean, they did have like a life-size stuffed animal of Buc-ee, but... Anyways, that's enough Buc-ee's talk.
It's a great place.
It is a great place.
Yep.
I want all of the rest stops on the New Jersey Turnpike or on the Garden State Parkway to be Buc-ee's.
It would certainly be much better because, let me tell you, I don't have a very high opinion of the New Jersey rest stops.
I mean, they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, both Maryland rest stops and the Delaware rest stop are all far nicer than any that I've been to in New Jersey. They've all been redone.
Yeah,
recently.
They're in the process of redoing all the Jersey ones.
Yeah, certainly Maryland's used to be just absolutely awful, but they're both good now. Actually, there is a rest stop near me that is still absolutely awful, but I don't ever go to that one because it's 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, why would you go there?
Right.
They can name it. They can be like the John Bon Jovi Buc-ee's. I'm fine with that. I just want a Buc-ee's. That's all I need. Anyways, that's enough of that.
How was Austin? Was it much more built up than last time you went?
Oh, yes. It is a much bigger city.
Not to out myself, but certainly a lot of people I follow kind of hold Austin as like the ideal city in terms of how much they've built.
Yeah.
It's big.
Urban development.
Yeah.
I want that in Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
I mean, I do have to say that people are happy about how, like, Jersey City specifically. They think there's been
Jersey
a lot of
City
building
scene.
There, too. So, anyway, we can probably move on.
Yes.
Ocean's going to have a maintenance period from Tuesday, April 9th at 11 p.m. through Wednesday, April 10th at 11 a.m. So, basically, this means that there's going to be no gaming available. So, this is at all, Craig. No slot machines, no table games, no nothing. Casino's closed.
That's what they said. 12 hours... Tuesday to Wednesday in April, surely the peakest peak time.
I mean, it won't be very peak, but that's a little bit weird, right?
I would have gone 1-1, I think.
Why don't you talk about what they're doing, and then we can talk about this.
Well, first of all, surely 11 a.m. on the dot, everything will be back. There has never in the history of these sort of transitions been any sort of hiccups or delays. So, I mean, it's also possible they'll get done early and it'll be back up at like 7 a.m. But they sent an email with all the changes. One of the changes is something we talked about last episode, the comps expiring after 90 days, although I don't think they'd have to update any sort of systems to make that change. A couple of the bigger things that they're changing are you will be able to cash out from a table and get a normal slot machine type ticket in, ticket out machine ticket. So you can just cash in and say, no, instead of chips, I'll take this ticket straight to a slot machine and lose the rest of my money there. You can get chips if you want. I'm sort of surprised this hasn't taken over lots of places, because surely the casino would rather give you a ticket that you'll then take right straight to a slot machine.
Certainly, it makes their lives easier, too, because you would think they wouldn't need fills and stuff anymore either, right?
Well, you still will be able to get chips,
mm-hmm.
but the big thing is you can avoid a line at the cashier. You can go straight to a...
Right, an automated machine.
It seems like this is the last time I'll ever buy in at a table, and that money will ever come back to me, because I'm surely just going straight to a machine with it, right? Like, if I have $150 on a ticket... Like, that ticket's probably not getting converted to cash.
Because surely you have never once converted a slot ticket into cash in your life.
It's never happened. Yeah. I don't know if anyone has. The other thing they're doing is they're really trying to reduce the things that you need to go to the gaming kiosk for, the Players Club kiosk mm-hmm. for. So match play, free slot play, you can just do those straight at the machine or at the table with your card. Even gift offers, apparently there's a way to go to a slot machine and press some weird button and get a voucher for your gift. So it says you go to the machine, you put your card in, you select Starburst. I have no idea why Starburst would be the gift thing. I'm guessing it's like the name of the vendor or something. And then you activate your gift, and then once you select the green checkbox, your gift is ready to pick up, and then you go with your card to pick up your gift. It's basically just like using the slot machine as the kiosk. What I want to see in this change, if they're going to be adding stuff to the slot machine, is drink ordering from the slot machine.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
It's not listed here, but that is what I want.
This seems like a little bit confusing, right? I like how there's like, okay, there's going to be three icons, the Starburst, the money, and the hand, and like here's the different stuff you can do with them. I mean, I guess you'll get used to it after a while, but...
Yeah. Pro tip, always select the Starburst to check for available offers.
Yes. That's what it says.
Yeah, I really want to see about the drinks thing. That's my main question, because I don't think I ever had to wait a long time for the kiosks at Ocean. I'm sure other people have had different experiences, but I don't remember the kiosk thing being a big deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly times at Caesars where I've been like, I don't want to
wait. Yeah,
it's... Borata also.
Yep. Yeah, no, they've both been long there. So, I mean, we'll see. I guess, so I was going to say, leading into this, I don't know why they're not, like, rolling this out in phases. They don't have to shut down the floor, but I assume there's a back-end system upgrade going on at the same time, so they really can't do it.
Yeah.
Or they could just be like, hey, you can play these slot machines, but there's no loyalty being earned or whatever now.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought they would do. It's like, you're just not earning right. anything. You can play all you want. I bet a lot of people would still play.
Right.
Any other thoughts about this Ocean thing?
Maybe that we'll see sounds it. Interesting. Maybe we'll have to check it out. Yeah, if we are on the boardwalk at some point in the, you know, next month.
It's possible.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
More news. Buddy's Boardwalk Empire.
Bucky's Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, I wish. If they open a Bucky's in one of the casinos in Atlantic City, think about what that would do.
That would be an immediate our home casino, no matter what.
They should put the Bucky's right next to the Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some overlap. Like, Bucky's did have a lot of hunting gear and stuff and, like, coolers. Uh-huh. So just attach it. So it's supposed to open summer 2024, not Bucky's, Buddy's, Buddy Velastro's, Buddy's Boardwalk Empire. I guess I should read some press release.
Oh, you have to?
Yeah.
That's what the people come for.
Buddy's Boardwalk Empire is the latest creation by celebrity chef Buddy Velastro, It's set to become a popular favorite in the outstanding lineup of dining offerings at Harrah's Resorts Atlantic City. This innovative concept combines the best elements of The Boss Cafe by Buddy Valastro, Buddy's Jersey Eats, and Pizza Cake by Buddy Valastro, in case you didn't know, in Las Vegas. A unique and immersive culinary experience. Of course it is. I don't know. It just seems like both bakery and pizza and maybe sandwiches. Be transported to the boardwalk with a variety of Italian fair favorites. You're at the marina. Here, be transported right to the boardwalk without getting on a jitney. Truly the main goal of Buddy's boardwalk empire.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to any Buddy Valastro restaurant?
No.
Or cafe?
No.
So the original is in Hoboken. Not Buddy's Boardwalk Empire, but Carlo's. It's legendary. I will say their cake is extremely good. Other stuff, hit or miss. It's also a glorified gift shop because he is more popular than the restaurant.
It's like a Cracker Barrel. It's like Bucky's.
No, it's just a bakery.
Glorified gift shop.
The gift shop is just that it's all Carlo's branded, like, shirts and hats and stuff. Like, more people are going in to buy Carlo's branded shirts and hats and mugs than are there to buy cake.
Just like Bob Evans.
Is it replacing Taza? Surely not, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
It looks to me like it's replacing the bar with no name or whatever it is that was right off the lobby at Harrah's. Mm. But that's just based on one tiny rendering picture.
That would make more sense because that would put it with stuff. Taza's kind of off on its own a little bit, right?
It is. It's small. It's a small space, the Taza. Mm. My guess is that it's going where that bar is, but I don't actually know.
Well, we'll find out. So, according to Nicholas Yuba, I know there was kind of discussion that this may be happening, but it seems like there's some confirmation that there are no beach concerts coming to Atlantic City this year. So, basically, everything that we said was good that has happened in Atlantic City, you know, in the last couple episodes has either been in serious question or has just been canceled.
Yeah, I don't know if this is related to the massive beach erosion that's happened in Atlantic City.
Well, why don't you talk about the beach erosion?
Yeah, let's do it. But yeah, if you had your heart set on beach concerts this summer, there will be none. That's where Showboat comes in and is picking up the slack with their summer beach stage. Actually, I mean, it does give them an opportunity to to do some of that stuff if their first one is a success. I think possibly related, as I hinted at, there's a major issue in the northern part of the boardwalk up by Hard Rock Resorts in Ocean that there's huge, huge beach erosion. So if you walk out toward the beach, there's just sort of like a big drop off and not much sand. Like, a lot of the sand is sort of washed away into the ocean. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says that new sand won't come until late summer. James H. actually emailed us and said, when you walk out of Hard Rock, there's a very steep cliff just past the dunes and the ocean comes right up to the cliff. No beach at all. So, like, nowhere to go out and sit with your umbrella. Last year, apparently, Ocean paid a bunch of money to get sand brought in, and all that sand and more is gone. So it also seems like the beach bars up in that part of the boardwalk will not be able to open. I know Ocean and Hard Rock both had them. Hard Rock's was actually destroyed by a winter storm, it says in an article by Wayne Perry that I'll link to. Like, washed out into the ocean, I guess, along with the sand. So, not great. We'll see if there's any sort of update, if any of these places can hasten the acquisition of some sand. But for now, it seems like not great. Like, if it's a big attraction, you know, you're losing the beach concerts, you're potentially losing the ability
to go
out.
The literal beach, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously a lot of other beach that you can go out on.
Yeah, but it's not great if you're on the North Boardwalk, you know, staying in Ocean, and you're like, I want to go to the ocean, and then you can't go to the ocean.
Yes. Disappointing lack of pictures, I'll say, in the articles and even the TV news story I watched about it. It's like, how hard is it to just send someone out to Atlantic City? Like, how disconnected from Atlantic City is everybody involved in this that we can't get some really good visuals about what's being talked about here?
Certainly Wayne Perry, I think, is local, so I don't know.
And the picture was by him.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure he just went and took his own picture. Mm-hmm. And that was in the AP article, but
not great.
Not good.
Not great all around.
Something to keep an eye on. I mean, there's still a couple months till summer starts, so who knows if they'll figure this out or if the casinos will end up just ponying up a bunch of money.
Like a month and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Not great.
Speaking of not great, the next news item. Do you want to get into that?
Sure. The Casino Workers Union president says alarm bells should be ringing about visitor revenue trends.
Alarm bells should be ringing, in quotes.
Alarm bells should be rain.
In the headline by Selena, well, the article by Selena Vasquez, the press of AC, we'll link to that.
One of the quotes from the article is that it is incredibly troubling to see that 6 of the 9 gaming properties have posted declines of casino win compared to February 2023 and year-to-date compared to 2023. And that was according to Donna DiCaprio, president of Unite Here Local 54.
Yeah, the big casino union.
Yep. I know we've talked about it in the past, and I think we agree that it's not perfect, that right now it's basically is a story of three casinos in Atlantic City, and even one of those, Borgata, is going down. So,
I mean, I think Borgata's still doing very well.
Yeah, but it's still doing very well.
So, obviously, you know, anytime you can blame this on legislation, you do. She says the legislators need to take this into consideration as they consider policies that could compound the downward trends. There's an NJ state senator, New Jersey state senator from Atlantic County, Vince Palestina, who says, without safety, cleanliness, and lighting, the city will continue to lose tourists along with brick-and-mortar revenue. It's probably a good point.
Yeah, I mean, those things would be good, although it's not losing brick-and-mortar revenue right now, so.
What do you mean it's not losing brick-and-mortar revenue?
Well, I mean.
Overall.
Like, yeah, overall. Like, it's biz going up, right?
Well, it's down a little bit from 2023, January, February.
Sure. For January and February are. But, you know, 2 months does not necessarily make a huge trend. But, I mean, I do think safety, cleanliness, and lighting are three good things. Although, lighting on the boardwalk, I think, is pretty decent. But safety would be good. And cleanliness. The city could do better on both of those.
One thing I'll say, and I've seen this argument a bunch of times, is, like, the 6 of 9 gaming properties are declined compared to last year. And, like, it's really only 3 that are doing well, and the other 6 are doing poorly. And that's a really big problem for Atlantic City. This feels a lot to me like when a sports team is bad and the attendance is down and people are like blaming the fans. I mean, I guess people are right. Like people aren't blaming the gamblers, but people are saying like, oh, this is bad. Like Atlantic City needs to fix this. But like, there's nothing that says that these casinos have to gain revenue. Like they have to entice people to come also. And certainly I think our argument has been that Caesars has not really done enough in the past few years to get people to go to their casinos.
They clearly haven't.
Right. So, like, them being down, is it totally, like, a city safety problem? Or is it an issue where, like, people just feel stung by decisions that Caesars made or the staleness of the properties?
So, I think there's, like, two different things to think about here. What you're saying, like, that's completely correct. Obviously, let's say specifically Ocean and Hard Rock are doing gangbusters now and are going up and up and up. Like, any one specific casino, like, isn't necessarily impacted by cleanliness and safety, in quotes, right?
Right.
You know, there's still people coming to Atlantic City. You can still, if you have a good product and, like, gives people something that they're interested in, like, you can still be a success in Atlantic City. But, like, I'll have to say, on the other hand, making it so that it is more pleasant, let's say, to, like, move around the boardwalk, that really will help everyone in Atlantic City. So it might not matter for like one specific casino, especially a casino like Hard Rock that's doing very well, but it is something that could be a rising tide that helps all ships, right?
Yeah. So one thing that I think this whole thing probably is hinting at, and it gets mentioned late in this article in the press of AC, is that it seems like there's going to be some decision made in the next week or so on the smoking ban in Atlantic City. And Resorts president and CEO Mark Gianantonio says in this article is quoted as saying, this is not the time to enact laws such as a full smoking ban that will further erode customer visitation and revenues to our properties. And I looked because I know that the casino workers are the ones behind the smoking ban. Donna DiCaprio, the president of Unite Here Local 54, does not support the full smoking ban.
Oh, really?
I guess the official union stance is not in support of it. So I wonder how much this article and a lot of these quotes are actually hinting at the smoking ban more than the safety stuff, because it does seem like that's going to happen, or something will happen with that at some point relatively soon.
What do you think? Is the full smoking ban good, bad?
I think people will adjust. I don't think it's actually as bad as the casinos think it is. I think people will just, like, people who like to gamble and like to smoke will go outside to smoke and it will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm like quite that optimistic. I mean, I think it is a bad thing. I think that it's frequently cited that one of the main reasons that Revel was a failure was that it was a no smoking property. How true is it? I don't know. Like, I'm not a smoker personally, and so, like, I'm fine with it. And, like, I don't think, like, in Maryland where you can't smoke in casinos, like, it's not a huge deal. And there's, like, outside terraces where you can gamble and smoke I don't know. I mean, I think it's tricky between, you know, like, obviously, is it good for employees to have to go work at a table all day every day with a ton of secondhand smoke around? Like, no, probably not. But it's not a simple problem. But I do think that a full smoking ban will be bad for casinos, at least at some level, even if it may be a, like, public good.
Yeah. I don't think it will be majorly bad for the casinos, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I mean, I know people, I think there are a lot of people who don't smoke anywhere else but the casino. Like, they just think it's like a vice thing that they're doing, and they're going to go and have an old fashioned and smoke a cigar and play some blackjack.
Well, I don't think you can smoke cigars at most casinos now, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure about that. I know at least at some casinos, they will not let you smoke a cigar at a table, even if it is a smoking table.
Some cigar smoking listener will surely let us know.
Yes, yes, yes. Which I am not. Cigars make me quite sick, so.
I really like them in the moment, and then, like, 2 hours later, the throwing up happens.
Oh, I feel so bad when I smoke. Like, cigarettes are fine, but cigars I cannot smoke.
Immediate vomiting?
No, not vomiting, but a lot of nausea. Same thing with hookah. I can't do hookah either. Cigarettes are pretty much the only thing that I can smoke. Which I haven't had a cigarette in, I don't know, 15 years probably.
I don't know the last time I smoked a cigarette. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a hot sec.
Yeah. I don't think I did in Vegas, so.
Certainly some people, when we went to Philadelphia, someone bought a pack of cigarettes, but I don't, who smoked those? I don't think I did.
I might have had one. I can't even remember.
Yeah. I can't remember either.
But it's like, you can't smoke inside. Were we just walking around?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Don't know if I did or not.
Yeah. Not important, probably. So we got a listener question from longtime listener Angela via email. Thank you for your podcast. I've been a longtime listener and a true fan, planning to go to AC in May with a few friends. Any recommendations for a good happy hour or dinner for a group of six? What recommendations do you have for happy hour or dinner?
So happy hour, I listed a few here. I mean, we've been to Doherty's at Resorts twice. I think we really, really loved it the first time. And then had mixed feelings the second time.
I think that it was still good the second time. The service was not very good, which is possible that it was a one-off thing. That's my recollection of that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Experience.
I would still recommend it. I think it's a good bet. I've seen people in the Facebook group still saying that it's very good. So their happy hour is 4 to 6 p.m., including weekends. Half-price select appetizers, $1.50 oysters, $4 domestic draft, $6 New Amsterdam cocktails, $7 bullet bourbon and rye cocktails. So I think the $6 New Amsterdam and $7 bullet cocktails, like, they used to just have a couple of select cocktails that I think were $8 or something. But bullets, I mean, New Amsterdam's well stuff, but bullet's decent. So that's one option. We went to Knife and Fork, but I feel like you can't do that with six people. It's too crowded to get six people in there.
But you can if you line up before it opens like we did.
Yeah, you'd have to show up at like 3.
No, like 3:50 or something. Should be fine.
So Knife and Forks is 4 to 6 p.m.
We showed up like 10 minutes early and we were like third in line or something.
Yeah, except the guy was like, normally it's way longer than this.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so the Knife and Fork happy hour, I believe, is also 7 days a week. It's 4 to 6 p.m. It's just some discounted appetizers.
It's just food, yeah.
I actually don't think it's like the most amazing deal in the world.
I think if you're a certain type of person that would like a certain type of experience, it's the best thing you can do in Atlantic City. But I'm not that type of person, so.
I mean, I will say the food is extremely good, so that is an option. But I mean, as far as, you know, you're not going to be going and getting like $8 appetizer or anything. Like, everything's $13, $14, $15, $16, $17, $18, $19. I mean, it says they're half-priced appetizers. So does that mean that the artisanal cheese plate is $40 normally? I guess it's possible. Crab and avocado terrine, $36 because it's on sale for $18. I don't know. Anyways, that's an option. I personally think that would be too tough with six people. Like, it's not a huge bar, and it's only at the bar.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a problem. I mean, personally, like, again, I wouldn't personally want to do it with six people, but I think if it was, like, the right six people, I think you would have a lot of fun there.
Right up the street, and if it's a weekday, you have Good Dog Bar. Mm-hmm. Which you surely would have no problem getting six people into. It's huge, two floors.
It is very big.
Weekdays only 3 to 6 p.m. They have half-price drafts, $5 mixed drinks, and discounted bar snacks. Mm-hmm. The other couple of places I found, in Tropicana, Cuba Libre, who you have a vendetta against forever because they wouldn't let you take your iced tea inside.
That's correct.
Their happy hour is only Monday through Thursday, which seems a little weak, but it's $8 cocktails, including mojitos, sangria for $8, appetizers for $6 and $7. It seems like a really good deal if you're if you happen to be there Monday through Thursday. Like, those prices are really good. The other one we have not been to is Cardinal, and they have a Wednesday through Sunday happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m., $10 cocktails, $5 beer and well drinks, $1 oysters, and discounts on appetizers and some entrees like fish and chips and stuff. That deal seems really good, with the caveat that I have not been, but the prices seem very, very good.
We should do it.
$10 for like high-end cocktails at a highly rated restaurant is a good deal.
We should do it.
We should do it. We should absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. So then segueing into the dinner for six, obviously, you know, we've spoken highly of Doc's. I think if you're looking for like fancy, if you're looking for seafood or raw bar or steaks, I think Doc's is a great option. Cardinal, again, gets incredible reviews, but like I said, we haven't been. Mm-hmm. I always love Amada for this sort of group dinner because you can just get a bunch of small plates and share them. I think Osu would actually work for that also at Tropicana.
Yep.
Super Freako. I think Angela has been to Super Freako, if I remember right. But I think that would also be good because it does have some share plates and also the food's interesting. It's just like an interesting vibe, I think, for a group dinner. I think it would be a cool place to go. And I think that's pretty much it for my quick recommendations. Do you have anything else offhand that you would throw out there? Just trying to think of non-casino places.
King's Pub. Come on, man.
I wouldn't go to dinner there. I might check it out for a happy hour.
Nah, yeah.
I mean, I would go to dinner. I would go to dinner there, but I wouldn't bring like a group of
six. Our food
was
pretty decent.
It was decent.
Certainly, if you can get in to a place like Chef Ola's or whatever, a lot of people also think that's great.
Sure.
I've also never been, so I can't really speak to it, but it's probably the most iconic restaurant in Atlantic City, along up there with Knife and Fork. So, like I said, if you can get in, that's something you could do too if you have people that just love kind of old-style Italian food.
Yeah. So, I was looking at Borgata because I was like, surely there's a Borgata place that would be near the top of this list, but it really seems like Borgata's dining now is Old Homestead, Angeline, which is like a celebrity chef, Michael Simon. Is it Michael Simon?
Yeah, Michael Simon. Yes.
And then a bunch of MGM generic stuff. Like, they've gotten rid of Izakaya. They've gotten rid of the Wolfgang Puck restaurant a long time ago.
Bobby Flay.
Yeah. And so it seems like the dining at Borgata is pretty unexciting to me right now. And I know
Man, the Metropolitan, who doesn't want that?
Right. I mean, I've never been to Metropolitan. It looks good to me.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine.
I mean, I'm sure that the first response to this that we're going to get is, yeah, but it has Amphora, but like neither of us are diamond or whatever gold anymore, so we can't get into Amphora. So put that in your pipe and smoke it until they ban it.
Excellent point. Just put everything together there.
Tied it all together perfectly in a neat little bow.
Well, I mean, I think with that...
Chickies and Pete's, by the way, the obvious choice for a group of six.
How could we not say Chickies and Pete's? Chickies and Sweets. You could also just stay in a Chickies and Sweets and eat a Chickies and Pete's.
It's true. Room service direct.
All right. Hopefully that gives you what you need. If you have more questions, Angela, let us know. Thank you for listening for so long. And for the rest of you, if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/2forawin. Find all of our great content and buy a shirt, at 2forawin.com.
Ain't no shirts.
Reach out to Craig on Twitter, 2forawin, or me, Kyle Oskin, and send Craig questions to 2forawin@gmail.com, and we will answer them on air. Any last thoughts?
Bucky's great.
Just the best. Marina Bay Sands, not the best.
I think if we're looking to fix up AC, they should just subsidize the Bucky's.
Yeah.
Boardwalk Bucky's, where the Trump Plaza used to be.
Yeah.
This is now what I want.
Just be like, outlets, you had a really good run, but we have to shut all of you down because we're putting a Bucky's right here.
Yeah, on the boardwalk. A Bucky's with a casino attached?
It'd be so good.
All the dealers are dressed in Bucky's onesies?
Uh-huh.
Make it happen.
Is there anything better in life than just getting a can of blackjack dealt to you by Bucky?
It'd be amazing. They'd have a really hard time enforcing a no pictures in the casino rule, but you know.
Right. Yeah, I think that casinos already have a really hard time with that. So
that's absolutely true. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll hopefully talk to you in a couple weeks.
Try not to get sucked into the earth by an earthquake.
Yeah. Too late. Golden Nugget. I don't think I have 7 nights a week anymore, Golden Nugget.
I'm back down to Sunday to Thursday. They're not even giving me Fridays anymore.
I mean, I think every week nowish, or like maybe a couple days ago, they're like, oh, you can come this weekend if you want. But
my favorite is that every Saturday morning they email me like, why wait for the weekend? Like, it is the weekend. What are you talking about? This could come out on Monday morning. It's like my weekend literally just started.